What's going on? I can't travel to Durban, and I really need to see the team. Our telephone bill is through the roof, our server crashed, and we've lost all our files.
Are you getting frustrated with problems in your business? Win at work and calm the chaos with Vox's intelligent business solutions. Work smarter, not harder, and connect your business to the world from 899 Rand. T's and C's apply. Visit vox.co.za for more information.
Are you tired of selling a kidney for a laptop? Do you need to take notes in your family WhatsApp group without your boss thinking you're not working? Tired of explaining something when you could just draw it and share it? How about that backache? Is it heavy laptop related? Let the Mesa Fundi come to your rescue. Hashtag freedom with Fundi. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional.
I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central. I'm joined now by Stéphane Duproz, the CEO of Africa Data Centers, for a discussion on the company's recent acquisition of Standard Bank's Samrand data center in Gauteng. Stéphane, it's good to see you. Welcome to the podcast. You're in Paris today, I believe.
Yes, morning, Duncan. Yes, I'm in Paris. I used to spend my life in Africa when travel was still authorized, actually, you know, really traveling every week. I work in Africa developing data center and digital hubs. But, you know, lockdown being lockdown, I am home. Been a lockdown for a couple of months, even though in France it's loosening a bit.
What is the situation in France? What does the lockdown look like there?
Well, it's been really terrible. You've probably seen the statistics of you know, the figures of you know, the country having difficulties coping with the situation of a large number of people being sick at the same time. But now it's getting much better. So, you know, we can actually go out of our homes without justifications, as long as we do not go further than 100 kilometers. But restaurants and bars remains closed.
Right. Similar to here, we're going to be easing our lockdown, very strict lockdown, next Monday. And I think everyone's rather excited about it. But but Stéphane, tell me, how has the lockdown across Africa affected your ability to function as a company? I mean, you're obviously... you need to have technical teams on the ground. You're expanding your facilities around the continent. How has COVID-19 affected you as a business?
It has obliged us to almost daily reinvent ourselves, mainly, as you mentioned, in terms of operations, as that really was... I mean, we had business continuity plans, including how we would face a crisis. You know, Africa Data Centers is certified 23001, so we have the capacity to answer crisis situations, of course. But that type of long crisis is not something that was, you know, easily anticipatable. So we have reviewed our BCP every week and sometimes daily to face the situation. And we've actually ended up separating teams in two. Mm-hmm. One staying home and one at work in the data centers, as it was considered as a, obviously, critical activity. It was possible for our staff to come to the data centers. We've put, of course, some very stringent security measures to protect the health of our employees. But we know we work in a pretty closed data centers where outside interventions to the data center were limited, extremely limited. And you know, the purpose of dividing a team in two is that if something happens within a team, you just send the whole team back home. In isolation, do the testing, and you bring a completely new, fresh team that's been away from mm-hmm. it. So I'm just giving you an example, but that's the way it's really working. Some of you rightfully mentioned the fact that we are expanding our data centers, both by acquisition, we'll come back to that, I suppose, and also by building. We're currently building a total 20 megawatt power data center, also in Gauteng, in Midland. And those works have stopped for a while. But then the government ruled that, again, data centers being a critical infrastructure for the country, and that there was very clearly, and I suppose we are also going to talk about that, very, very clearly a huge increase in usage of digital tools during the lockdown, and that it was then critical that we could continue to build infrastructure for those tools to be housed. And actually, it is extremely important because now those tools and the data which go through those tools, the African data, it is extremely important that that data remains in Africa. And that has not been the case for a long time. Mm-hmm. So the more we actually develop digital infrastructure, such as data centers, and the more we participate into the development of African digital economy and life, and in a way that is much more performing than before, because the data is close to the users here in Africa.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe I was going to ask about this a bit later in our discussion, but let me bring it in now since you've raised it. What impact have the lockdowns in the various markets in which you operate had on your facilities in terms of demand? And allied to that, do you expect the corporate world here in South Africa and the other markets in which you operate to look more aggressively at their digital transformation, their cloud computing projects and programs? Do you think that's going to have a net benefit effect post this crisis on Africa data companies like Africa Data Centers that are providing the facilities that enable cloud computing?
There are two steps. It's a very important and complex question, so I'll try and answer it as best as I can by giving you background. The first element to in my view, understand, and that's what we are experiencing, is that that digital transformation actually started before COVID.
Yeah.
So let's do it step by step. Let's see what was already happening and what would have happened anyway. And that really is a situation where, you know, several dynamics were joining towards that digital development. The first one is the willingness of the African corporations to start the journey towards a digital transformation, understanding as well that for most of them, you know, their IT infrastructure sits in their own data centers, which are not always at the level of quality of the Standard Bank one, you know, pretty often obsolete, and are they going to invest again into building those very expensive buildings or not? You know, those were questions that were really starting to get to the boards of important African corporations. So that's one dynamic. So basically, the African market was ready. The second element is that, so we are talking here corporations and businesses. But you've got to understand as well that the African consumer market is extremely ready in terms of technology. You know, it's always been, you know, as one of my pride as an African to see how the African peoples have experienced a huge development in technology, sometimes and very often leapfrogging quite a lot of things that, you know, happen everywhere else in the world. I mean, the usage of technology, particularly by the young people, is very, very dynamic. So, and also there, the infrastructure was not residing in Africa, mm-hmm. was elsewhere. So if you were sending a video through WhatsApp, that video was stored not in Africa, but you know, in Europe or in the US, and that made the performance and the experience much less nice than if it was in Africa. And that's what we are doing. So that was the first trend. There was really skills, need, and readiness to start the journey. Mm-hmm. And the second dynamics, which actually met the first one, is the arrival on African soil of international cloud operators bringing you know, all cloud platforms and actually compute into Africa, starting, as everybody knows, with Microsoft and AWS. So then that arrival, and actually one of the reasons why they were not coming to Africa was that their view was that at the time there was not enough good quality data center infrastructure in Africa. So it was difficult for them to do their job as well as they are used to doing. And they actually ended up coming, you know, finding good companies. I cannot tell the names, but you can figure out yourself. So they came, and it really met the demand, as I explained in my first step, up to the point where the rumor really says that both of those you know, global cloud actors have really met business success in coming to Africa and are now doubling or tripling their capacity in Africa. So a lot of good news there. So that is for what would have happened anyway. Mm-hmm. And then what did the COVID change? The COVID again leapfrogged the, you know, the change in society where people work, could work. I mean, a lot of people, not all people, but a lot of people could actually work remotely. And the COVID obliged people to work remotely and obliged the organization to realize that the IT tools that are allowing those people to continue working efficiently from home were really important. It obliged also organizations to reassess what were their you know, IT resources, IT tools in order to be able to continue working efficiently. And at the same time, because there is no efficient digital resource if you don't have an efficient digital infrastructure resource, you know, being the housing and of all of that, data centers. And what happened is that, you know, most organizations realized how critical their IT and digital tools were, and realized that they absolutely now do have to secure this in a way that maybe that they had not anticipated before, so that in case there is a problem again, the business can keep on. So we are seeing a very big level of request at the moment from corporations saying, can you help us strengthen the security, the availability of our IT in general and digital resources in particular.
So this is really going to accelerate many of these projects in your view?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the other thing that accelerates, you know, I've been leading data centers for 20 years, so I have seen how economical trends can also impact the take-up of data centers. I'm not saying that it's going to happen the same in Africa as it happened in Europe, but certainly one thing for sure is that operating, you know, companies who continue operating their own data centers are doing that at a very high cost, in fact.
Yes.
So when you get into economic crisis. And it is really, really possible that, you know, after, I mean, if one day, hopefully shortly, we will stop only talking about COVID, but we will get back to our normal life, we will realize the huge impact on our economies. Mm-hmm. And companies and other organizations will be looking at ways to cut costs and work better. And one of the immediate, simplest way to cut costs and work better in terms of IT is outsourcing the data center. Mm-hmm.
Stefan, let's talk a bit about the acquisition then of the Standard Bank data center in Samrand in Gauteng. That was built, I think, about 8 or 9, maybe 10 years ago now by Standard Bank to house its own internal IT requirements. Standard Bank recently announced that they are moving to the cloud with both Azure and Amazon Web Services. And they elected to dispose of the facility, and Africa Data Center has snapped it up. What are you getting in that deal? What is this data center, and what is it going to allow you to do?
It's really an outstanding facility. I mean, I have for 14 years led the largest European data center operator. I have been the chairman of the European Data Center Association. I have seen a lot of data centers in my life, hundreds.
Right.
I have never seen something approaching this. Standard Bank has designed, built, and operated a data center facility, largely beyond the highest standards in the world. Really, extremely impressive. The level of redundancy, everything, and you know, a data center is not a living object, if I may say that word. Yes, it may be 8 years old, but you know, I can tell you when you get in, it's new,
right?
Because the equipment has been replaced, when needed, and the whole thing is completely new. But what stays is the unbelievable level of redundancy and of security. I am not going to get into the details, but you know, certain areas are only accessible through doors that you and I cannot open because they are so too thick. There are anything to open some of those doors.
Thank
you. I'll just give you one example.
Yeah.
It's just really very, very, by far, the most impressive data centers that I have seen in my life. So Standard Bank has actually designed and built it for its own use. You were right to mention that. Mm-hmm. And very clearly, they showed that they consider their IT as a critical resource, as they spent a lot of effort into really protecting it. Mm. And I am not surprised that they are now, considering starting that journey towards the digital transformation and to use the cloud. Very often what happens, and I don't know the details of what Standard Bank is going to do, but generally speaking, what you actually see is that I am not aware of any organization of that importance, of course. I'm not talking about startups here, but an established, long-established corporation. I have never seen one of those migrating everything into the cloud. Mm-hmm. You really end up in a mixed situation where you assess what is going to be optimized by going to the cloud, and you assess also that there are some elements, generally speaking, key components that you keep in house, and that's ending up in what is being called the hybrid cloud, where some of your data and tools are actually public cloud, and some of them are in your own facility. So That's what we are seeing very often. So the great thing also with the Standard Bank data center is that there currently is some capacity and space available there. So what we are hugely excited about is, you know, that capacity to now bring to the market that unbelievable data center that has been, you know, hidden for the sole use of Standard Bank, and now all the corporations, you know, who hopefully with you know, the COVID crisis have now understood are critical for their business, for their survival in times of crisis. Their IT is are you know, those who will be looking at protecting their IT in an optimized manner will have the capacity to be housed in that facility. So we are opening, you know, what I like to call a hidden gem to the market.
How big is the data center facility and how much space is available?
It depends on how you present it.
All right.
It's basically consider it in terms of electrical capacity, which is, you know, generally how you rank or you speak about the size or the capacity of a data center. It's about 8 to 10 megawatts.
All right.
Capacity. White space, so clean, protected areas where customers would put their IT equipment of around 6,000 to 7,000 square meters.
Okay. And do you have all of the major telecommunications operators in the area, or do you need to do some work in terms of connectivity and bringing in all the big telcos into the facility?
Well, you know, two things are going to happen. Generally, a private data center like that one was doesn't have hundreds of telecom operators because it's for the sole purpose of one customer. Now, that customer, Standard Bank, you know, as I said, gave a lot of effort and attention into securing their IT infrastructure, you know, by building this unbelievable facility. But one should also keep in mind that you, if you have, I mean, it's very important to have redundant power feeds and, you know, redundant cooling equipment, but you also need to have redundant connectivity.
Yes.
Because the data, if it cannot be used, it just does not make sense. So the bank has established also a quite some redundancy in terms of connectivity. So there are a few telecom operators. Now, yes, very clearly, the number of telecom operators in that data centers has nothing to do with the number of telecom operators we have in a native commercial career neutral data centers like, you know, our other facilities in Johannesburg, Cape Town, or Nairobi, where we have dozens of telecom operators. So it's not the case yet. Nevertheless, there is a very good base to start with.
Right. Okay. So you'll be bringing in additional capacity over time, and the operators will be doing that themselves as well, I presume.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And you know what is also, I mean, I cannot give details at this point, but what is happening is that Africa data centers, through that acquisition and other deals we have made outside this data center in our other data centers in the course of the recent months, is now becoming the provider of reference for the financial community.
Yes.
We are really building a financial services digital ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, that also is going to start attracting more and more actors of this ecosystem, being users, banks, insurance companies, or being providers, cloud operators and sometimes niche providers, which are of importance for this sector.
Interesting question. A stock market analyst asked me the other day, why is there so much investment going into the data center market in South Africa? And Africa Data Centers is but one of many companies in South Africa that's made announcements this year of massive expansion to data center facilities. We've obviously got Microsoft and Amazon in the market now. And the question the analyst asked me was, companies are generally migrating to cloud through Amazon and through Microsoft, what is the justification for this massive expansion of data center capacity? Is the market, are there other elements of the market, the enterprise cloud market, that are going to gravitate to doing their own cloud solutions in ADC and other data center facilities around the country, rather than using them specifically the Microsoft and Amazon data Amazon data centers? And the analyst question was really around, is there too much build of data center space happening in South Africa right now? What's the answer to that question?
There clearly is not too much happening.
Okay.
I believe, and I would have to check, but Zalam Analytics are producing regular data center in Africa reports. And they are stating that the level of demand in South Africa is doubling. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that also, sometimes people are talking about their plans. And you have some potential data center actors, talking about their plans to see what the reaction is going to be and whether they're going to go for it or not. But the reality is that there is a very limited number of companies who are actually who currently have the capacity to build what we are building now. Mm-hmm. Don't believe everything that's being said. The reality is that not many are doing it.
Right. Few large players.
Rather than announcements, look at where AvWorks actually started. Now, answering your question, one could think, and I believe that's what's behind your question, that as some digital infrastructure is going into the cloud, then that means less customer ship for data centers. Mm-hmm. And here, really, it's something that has happened everywhere in the world before it happened in Africa. And it's been a question all the time. Two things there. The first one, three actually. The first one is that cloud providers don't always build their own data centers. So, and even if they do, they will still have some presence in third-party data centers like ours.
Right.
Some actually put their large capacity, their compute systems, into third-party data centers like ours. So that is a new customer ship. One source of customization. And actually, Zalam Analytics will also tell you that one of the driver of the data center development in Africa is obviously going to be those cloud providers. And we are seeing that happen. But again, they will not go to data centers they don't trust. And that's really what has been one of the reasons for them not to come to Africa before. But now, they've been operating with data centers like Africa data centers for years, and they know how we operate. And so now they have trust. So we have that. The second thing, as I said, is that, again, a company going to the cloud will not go 100% to the cloud. So what happens more often than not is that, again, say a bank, for example, would say first, the first decision is outsourcing. And that decision is now becoming considered really by everybody as a no-brainer, because it's cheaper and better. to outsource your IT infrastructure. Now, once I have decided to outsource, where do I outsource it? Do I outsource it to the cloud? Do I outsource it in a data center? Or do I get, as we discussed earlier, into a hybrid solution where part is in the cloud and part is in the data center, in a third-party data center? What also happens quite often is that, and we recommend that, is that the first step is that the IT infrastructure is put into a third-party data center where access to cloud operator to cloud operators is easy and cheaper. And once you are in that data center, which also actually hosts cloud operators, then it's easier for you to interconnect with them rather than if you were staying at your in-house data center. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper, it's more performing, and it's easier. And also, you will benefit there from that marketplace, that ecosystem I was referring to earlier, where not only will you have the choice of connectivity in a way that is much better than in a non-premise data center, but also a choice of cloud operators and a range of various sorts of providers who are actually going to help you in that journey towards digital transformation in a way that is going to be more secure, more stable than if you were going too fast to do the first step. Mm-hmm. But that is also really happening. And the third thing is that the cloud is creating new business, new activity, new digital activity. And any digital activity ends up happening in the data center anyway, because you know that really is the house of it. So actually the data center business has hugely transformed and developed since the beginning of the cloud. Again, by getting the cloud operator themselves, users of the cloud operators who are better centralizing their IT infrastructure in a place where they can choose those providers, and by the development of the digital activity in general.
All right. Let's change tack slightly, Stefan. There was some exciting news a couple of weeks ago that Facebook, Orange, MTN, Vodacom, and other investors are going to build a new very high capacity. I think the figure was 180 terabits per second design capacity cable circling the African continent called 2Africa. And of course, we got the news earlier this year, or it might have been last year, that Google is going to build a cable called Equiano along the west coast of Africa, also super high capacity, coming on stream in a couple of years from now. What is your view of these developments, the construction of these super high capacity cables, and what impact do you see them having on the African data center industry?
Huge. What we are seeing is what really we should have been seeing earlier. Mm-hmm. And again, the reason why all of that wasn't happening is because the global actors had not been able to identify good quality operators of data centers in Africa. Now that they know they are, and obviously we are the largest one on the continent, largest network of carrier neutral data centers in Africa. Now that they know they are, the whole thing is completely changing. So, we have a continent of it is a huge continent with a huge population. And a lot of this population is young. So, it's very eager to use digital tools. So it's the amount of business that the digital economy in general is going to make in Africa is enormous. It's just enormous. Really, the main question is how come they've been waiting so long? Mm-hmm. And we've established one reason. That might be also because in some countries, the telecom regulation has loosened a little bit. But now Africa is ready. Africa is ready. And you know, I am every day waking up saying, you know, wow, you know, what I'm doing is fundamental to a better life for the American, for the African peoples. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, I have a job, of course, but I also have a mission. And that mission really is to participate into delivering a better life for the African citizens with the digital tools and digital economy. And now it's really possible. Now that it is possible to have the infrastructure at a level of quality that allows that whole wave to happen, then that's when the whole wave is coming. So it's coming with cloud operators, it's coming with you know, cables capacities, and you know, beautiful. Africa is uncornering, and I am so excited about it. I mean, that's what makes me happy every day is to heavily participate into the development of this for the business, and for simply a better life for everybody. Again, technology in Africa is extremely dynamic. There's a lot of online and digital tools that were actually born in Africa. And even now, some of the banking, you know, some of the way of doing banking in Africa are much more advanced than in France.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, all of that is going to hugely develop.
So how do you see Africa data centers expanding in the coming years? As all of this happens, there's going to be growing demand for data center capacity. You've got presence in East Africa. You've got presence here in South Africa. Are you looking at West Africa as an opportunity? And what are some of the other growth options you're seeing in the coming years?
Well, how have you guessed? So yes, in the Southern African region, you know, we are now an extremely important actor of data centers, and we are continuing to heavily develop in obviously in South Africa. Mm-hmm. We are building a big capacity in Midrand. We are acquiring capacity in Samarang with the Standard Bank data center. We are also hugely developing in Cape Town, where we currently still are, you know, by far the largest data center operator in town. So, you know, an extremely important actor in South Africa, and we also have capacity in Zimbabwe. So that is our Southern African region. In East Africa, we are by far the number one mm-hmm. in the region. The number one of career-neutral data centers. I'm not talking about telecom data centers, which are a completely different market. You will never see the digital hub ecosystem, including cloud operators, go into a pure telecom data center. They always go to a career-neutral data center. So on that market, we're largely number one in East Africa. With a definitely leading data center in Nairobi. And we are also now deploying in Mombasa. And we have a facility in Kigali, Rwanda. And now, yes, we are coming to West Africa. Mm-hmm. We have last week announced that we were coming to Nigeria and Ghana, where we have secured premium land in Lagos and Accra, and are starting projects to build very, very soon. We are also following, you know, various discussions with actors in other countries. And we have partnerships also in countries where we are not going to invest into building our own data centers in you know, immediately. We are partnering with other data centers to be able to accommodate the level of requests we are receiving from our existing customers and new customers. So, you know, you basically, As we speak today, we have five cities where we are located: Johannesburg, Cape Town, Harare, Nairobi, and Kigali. I would expect that number to be between 12 and 15 in the coming 12 months.
And expansion in Francophone Africa at all?
Yes. Yes. We actually, the Togo government has issued a tender for the management of their data center. Mm-hmm. And we have won that tender. So we will be completely operating this data center in a partnership way, where the data center will continue to belong to the government, but is going to be operated completely as a career-neutral data center, and it is going to be, you know, fully in the portfolio of Africa data centers and interconnected to all our other data centers. Mm.
So I was just going to ask about, operating some of these markets, I imagine there's a lot of challenges, particularly in terms of reliable electricity supply from the grid. How does Africa data centers manage the supply of power? Are you simply going to have to burn a lot of diesel, or are there other opportunities you're looking at?
It varies in, you know, as usual. It depends on the country. Mm-hmm. The one thing to be very conscious of course, is that a data center is designed to cope with a power outage. So that's actually one of its key missions. So we just really completely organized to do that. And, you know, we've gone through South African load shedding without issues. But as you say, when we are in load shedding or when there is a grid outage, we rely on generators, and that's fuel. So what we do is, everywhere we operate, we use solar as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, typically in our data centers in South Africa, we are deploying solar panels on everywhere it is possible, on the roofs and everywhere, so that we have that capacity. That capacity will not replace the grid fully. It is, you know, when a data center has a capacity of 20 megawatts, getting 20 megawatts of solar power is not something that you can get easy. Mm. It's a huge farm. So, you know, we don't have enough space to do that. So we are building as much as we can so that under normal circumstances, the grid being there, we can use solar power to replace the grid temporarily.
Right. During the daytime.
During the daytime. If you want to also be able to do that during nighttime, then you need to put batteries, and you know, it starts to be a little bit more complex and a little bit less sustainable. So, you know, we basically optimize our usage of power as much as we can that for our consumption. Okay, so we consume as much. And really the objective is in South Africa to be able to get to 100% as soon as possible. Because what we are doing, as we do not have enough room in our data center campuses to accommodate, you know, huge solar farms, we are currently discussing with solar farms operators that, you know, can actually produce solar power remotely, anywhere, and then injected into the grid for our consumption. So it's really very, very important. So that's in South Africa. In Kenya, the grid power is already pretty sustainable. So, you know, big effort has been made by the Kenyan government for that, but we are still also putting as many solar panels as we can on our facilities. And every time we build a new data center, the sustainable energy is embedded into the project right at the start. So we are significantly developing that point.
Oh, interesting. That's I suppose it's a cost trade-off as well. I mean, how much does it cost to deploy solar panels versus getting power from the grid or using dirty energy sources like burning diesel and generators?
Well, diesel remains, of course, the most expensive. Mm-hmm. But it is recognized by the data center industry globally as the most reliable way of providing backup power. Yeah? So when the grid is not available, then the data center industry in general considers that diesel generators are the best solution to support the load while you wait for the grid to come back. Now, in certain countries, like Nigeria, a large proportion of areas in Lagos use generators are their primary source of power.
Yeah.
So at that point, of course, anything we can do in terms of solar is going to help, because we reduce, the more solar power you use, the less you reduce when you are in that configuration, the more you reduce your consumption of fuel. So, you know, we have a team of people, of Africa Data Centers employees, working on that on a permanent basis, reducing our power consumption. But actually what data centers do is reduce the power consumption of IT. Because the more IT consumes power.
Yes. You're talking about disparate companies running their own infrastructure rather than consolidating it in one place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. IT consumes a lot of power, but yet the carbon impact of IT remains positive, because yes, it does consume power, but it helps users not to. You're obviously much younger than me, but you know, when I started my career, if I had to negotiate a contract if I was living in Joburg and my customer was in Cape Town, I had to print the contract, fly to Cape Town. Email wasn't existing at the time, and discuss the contract, amend it manually, then come back to Johannesburg, etc. So obviously, the digital world is hugely improving the carbon impact of the population, but yet it consumes power. And data center, by mutualizing all those power consuming equipment necessary to run IT, is considerably reducing the IT power consumption.
We're almost out of time, but I want to ask a quick final question of you. There was an interesting statement that landed in my inbox this morning about Africa data centers joining the NVIDIA, let's get this right, NVIDIA DGX Ready Data Center Program. Now, NVIDIA is a very interesting company. I've been watching their share price with a great deal of interest this year. I think most people know NVIDIA as a maker of video game graphics cards, but they're actually much more than that, and they're starting to play a massive role in the data center market, which has pushed their share price up I think they're listed on the NASDAQ, hugely in the last year or so. In fact, their market capitalization is now very close to Intel Corporation's market cap, which is just astonishing. Tell us a bit about what this partner program or this data, the DGX Ready Data Center program is exactly, and what it means for Africa data centers.
Well, you know, I fully agree with what you said about NVIDIA. I am impressed. Mm-hmm. We have I am not an NVIDIA spokesperson, but the way I see it, yes, they started with gaming, and in particular gaming hardware, And then as gaming became online, then NVIDIA started to also improve the online capacities of gaming, and actually ended up in a provider of ultra intense computing infrastructure for anything. It started with gaming, but as you pointed out yourself, it's now available to any organization needing some, you know, very high and intelligent compute capacities. Mm-hmm. So what they do is that they select in the world a data center operator where they will actually physically house their equipment to be able to provide the service. And there are two great pieces of news here. The first one is that they've decided to come to Africa again, another movement towards keeping African data in Africa. Otherwise, if it wouldn't have been the case, then, you know, the African data would be in another continent. So they decided to establish themselves in Africa. And the second piece of good news is that they've obviously chosen what we consider the best data center operators, operator for them to do that, which is Africa Data Center. So now our organization is, if you wish, certified by NVIDIA. And when there when there is a request for NVIDIA to provide those services based on IT equipment, is going to happen in Africa Data Center's facilities.
Excellent. Stéphane Desproz is CEO of Africa Data Centers. It's been a fascinating conversation. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to Tech Central.
Thank you very much. You have a good day.